This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I mean, really? Who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to engage in a Twitter attack against a former Miss Universe?
She already knows Donald Trump would.
She was the worst we ever had. The worst, the absolute worst. She was impossible.
This is Podcast Playlist, a curation collection of the most beautiful podcasts around.
When it comes to beauty and politics, The Rotunda is a perfect 10.
Host Tramell Gomes speaks with Miss Tallahassee, Lauren Kelmet.
When it comes to Trump, I mean, I'm like a flat-out never Trump.
From beauty pageants to pot, Senator Jack Latvala wants you to vote no against Amendment 2.
I'm a wide-thinking Republican on many issues, but not this one.
What about the front man behind this issue? Attorney John Morgan has been out of the spotlight.
Well, because, you know, he got drunk and he told, you know, he said he went off the chain and it was caught on video and he said things that I'm not going to say for public consumption on your podcast.
News Service of Florida's Derek Cam is back in the Rotunda. All that and more coming up on episode 78. You would think the first debate would be all but forgotten, but now, well, most of the fallout was kept alive in the most bizarre way. But everything changed with the bombshell reporting by the New York Times, giving a glimpse into Donald Trump's tax history from his 1995 returns. Is anyone surprised that Trump possibly isn't paying any taxes? Likely up to two decades worth or more? If you are, tweet us at Rotunda Podcast. We'd like to know if you were surprised.
Who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning to engage in a Twitter attack against a former Miss Universe?
That's Hillary Clinton taking a stab at Donald Trump during one of her campaign stops here in Florida. Donald Trump's Twitter storm was building up to a Category 5 soon after this exchange during the debate.
He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her?
This
name
Where
is
did you
Alicia
find this?
Machado.
Where did you find
and
it?
She has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
And just like that, Miss Universe 1996 was back in the spotlight, under the watchful eye of her old boss, who stands accused of body shaming her in front of the press.
Great Miss Universe. And she's like me and everybody else. We like to eat.
Machado is now getting worldwide attention, and here she is telling her story to the Fusion Network about that moment.
When I talk to him, like, I don't want to do this. I feel so bad with these reporters in front of me. And he told me, you know something? I don't care.
Trump immediately fires back. Here's what he had to say on Fox News.
She was the worst we ever had. The worst, the absolute worst. She was impossible. She was the winner, and, you know, she gained a massive amount of weight. And it was a real problem. We had a real problem. Not only that, her attitude. And we had a real problem with her.
And that apparent problem resurfaced when Trump started tweeting and accusing Machado of having a sex tape and so on and so forth.
Podcast Playlist.
They were talking to the press with their crowns and sashes on about how offended they were over what Trump said.
Hi, I'm Matt Galloway. I'm here with Lindsay Michael. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Matt. This is Podcast Playlist, a curation collection of the most beautiful podcasts around.
Really? The most beautiful podcasts around? Did they just call me beautiful? I think they did. Yours truly, this program was picked up by CBC Radio in Canada, which is also distributed on Public Radio International, to spotlight one of our segments, Politics and Beauty Pageants. Take a listen.
We can't really talk about beauty without talking about beauty pageants. There are a lot of obvious problems with beauty pageants. For everybody who loves them, there's somebody who sees them as archaic, sees them as sexist.
But the thing that's really fascinating about them is often, Matt, it's not women who kind of aspire to be beautiful who you find participating. It's women who have serious career aspirations. So they use the pageant as a springboard to get to the career that they actually want. So here are some examples. Oprah Winfrey was a beauty queen, and Diane Sawyer, and even Sarah Palin was a pageant winner.
Things I had no idea of. In this episode of The Rotunda, host Tramell Gomes speaks with Miss Tallahassee, Lauren Calmet. We're joining them partway through their conversation. First up, Donald Trump's past role as owner of Miss USA and the growing trend of beauty queens becoming politicians.
I was actually really impressed with the caliber of girls who were being interviewed. Obviously, this is Florida. Obviously, a ton of them were Hispanics. I'm a Hispanic, and they were unhappy, and they were very vocal about it. And they were talking to the press with their crowns and sashes on, talking about how offended they were over what Trump said and how unhappy they were. And honestly, I was really on the fence about if I even wanted to do the pageant at all. But as soon as I saw that you can do this and still have a bold voice, even against the person who owns the pageant, I was like, man, this is the real deal. I can truly be my true authentic self, spread my message without feeling constrained by whoever owns the pageant at the time.
Special thanks to CBC producer Kate Evans for falling in love with The Rotunda just enough to feature it among the best of the best. Now, as for the timing of it all, imagine that. Trump and his rant brought a story we did months ago back into the spotlight. Here is Lauren Calmet again on episode 61 of The Rotunda.
Speaking of politics, when it comes to Donald Trump, he's no longer a part of the Miss USA organization. What do you think about his platform now? Is he someone that you would vote for? I don't know your political leanings.
Even just as far as, you know, what I do professionally, I kind of work in the political realm, advocating for kids. And in general, I do try to remain pretty neutral. But when it comes to Trump, I mean, I'm like a flat out never Trump. I just think that he's kind of terrifying as a person. And I think that it's kind of hard for me sometimes to believe that I'm associated with an organization that had such a strong relationship with him. But at the same time, it's kind of interesting to be caught in the political crossfire. Yeah. It's interesting because people do ask me about him, knowing his relationship with the organization.
Such an interesting, surprising perspective. From The Rotunda, that was Tramell Gomes speaking with Miss Tallahassee, Lauren Calmet.
That is really exciting. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, your host, inviting you to keep this program alive with your financial support. Visit rotundapodcast.com and find the donate button. It's on the top right. Make your financial contribution or have your company or organization underwrite with us. Your support is welcomed. And what will we do with your hard-earned dollars, you ask? We will grow this program, expand our distribution efforts, and strengthen our partnerships with media partners throughout the state and beyond. Again, visit rotundapodcast.com, and thanks for your support. So Donald Trump's taxes will be the talk this week, and likely for several weeks to come. The surprising part of the revelation following the New York Times story is from Trump supporters. Actually, Trump said it himself. He could do anything and his support will stay strong. How strong? He could shoot somebody and his followers will not have an issue. I did not make that up. Those are not my words, by the way. For Trump possibly not paying two decades worth of taxes or more, he's being applauded for taking advantage of the tax loopholes and current tax codes. He's being hailed as a genius, a business whiz, for his ability to bounce back after losing nearly $1 billion. Yes, his supporters argue the practice is legal, but is it right when you look at those who are not able to achieve and reach and have access to those loopholes? Supporters argue there are tax credits available and many people take advantage of them. So rest assured, the surrogates, they've already and will continue to defend these actions. Because, as we know, Trump has been indicating and hinting this. He hinted that he was smart for not paying taxes during the debate. and he's mentioned several times before, he makes every effort to avoid paying taxes. So this revelation is not a surprise. Actually, people should expect it. As a reminder, the Rotunda is a nonpartisan program with differing views. But here are some facts that I must share. It is quite hard for me to book a Trump supporter on this program. The very people who should be supporting their nominee say they will come on and talk about anything but Trump. They really don't want to engage or talk about Trump unless they have to. I have several standing invitations for Trump's senior campaign staffers here in Florida, and they've yet to follow through. Phone calls, emails, tweets have all been left unanswered. Anyway, I needed to say this because for this audience, you should know the effort is to keep this show, what's that phrase? Fair and balanced. Who holds the copyright to that? Anyway, let's switch the subject and turn to pot.
You know, I'm a moderate on many issues. I'm a wide-thinking Republican on many issues, but not this one.
That's State Senator Jack Latvala, who is standing in opposition to Amendment 2. Remember the medical marijuana amendment that failed to pass last year, just by a slim margin? Well, it's back, rewritten, and is on the ballot again, but Latvala thinks it's a bad idea for Florida.
I feel very strongly about this. And of course, I'm a politician. And a lot of us politicians, we look at the polls. And this is one that obviously my position is probably upside down at this point. But I feel so strongly about this issue personally as a quality of life issue in Florida that I'm spending the lion's share of my campaign funds for my own reelection to advertise against Amendment 2.
Latvala was joined by former Florida Supreme Court Justice Kenneth Bell. They held a press conference at the Florida Press Center.
I was a circuit judge. I was the first circuit judge in the nation to sit on a trial of a physician charged with manslaughter for his OxyContin prescriptions. I sentenced him to prison for 56 years. I had nine, he was charged with manslaughter for four of nine patients who died of overdoses. It was a six-week trial. I understand that needs for alternatives to opioids and stuff like that and chronic pain. I have a sister who's had 27 skeletal operations, and I know what is probably better than anybody in this room, having sat through all of that experience, the impact of opioids and the need and the consideration for marijuana as an alternative. So it's not opposition to marijuana from me personally. It's the method of that, because I have looked and I've researched what's happening in California and Colorado and other states. As he said, the number of kids taken to emergency rooms that get candy, the long-term research that's showing that the younger brain before the age of 21 or 24, permanent impaired by the chronic use of marijuana. All of this other stuff we just don't know. So why we don't put aspirin, we don't put other drugs in the Constitution. We leave it up to our elected representatives, and they're not doing their job. Make them do their job.
All right, so those are the opponents to Amendment 2. During the press conference, News Service of Florida reporter Dara Cam had several pointed questions for the No on 2 campaign, which has cited growing support by the medical, religious, judicial, and law enforcement communities toward their cause. But we've all been down this road before.
Well, I don't think it's anything new that we saw from them today. The same folks who were opposed to it 2 years ago are opposed to it now. In terms of former Justice Ken Bell, the sheriffs actually haven't come out and said whether they are opposed to it or not. I think they're remaining neutral. You might want to check on that. But yeah. So Latvala, Senator Latvala was not supportive of this back then. I was expecting maybe there might be some like big money announcement or something else attached to this. He's spending his own money from his political campaign, his own personal funds. Not really a surprise that he has money to spend because he's not being challenged. But I think the big question here is what they raised was similar to arguments we've heard before. We don't need it in the Constitution. It should be the legislature that does it. We're going to have pot shops on every corner and kids are going to be ODing on the, you know, gummy bears kind of a thing. And, you know, I'm not sure how truthful some of those arguments are, the legislature does have the ability to regulate this to some extent. If they want to outlaw, for example, if they want to outlaw candy, medicinal edibles, they can do that. This doesn't prohibit them. They have to implement this. I was chuckling to myself because one of the arguments that Justice Bell was making was it's too detailed and it doesn't give the legislature enough power to regulate this. And then I thought, well, if they didn't make it, if they didn't limit what it said and restrict it, then you know that opponents would be out there saying, it's too far-reaching, and so, you know, I think in the people who are opposed to it are just going to be opposed to it.
Yeah.
So some of the questions you brought up, like the main question you wanted to get them asked, and were you satisfied with their response?
Well, one of the things that I was asking, people have said that we have had this big opioid addiction and this is an alternative, you know, this is a palliative measure that would be an alternative to opioids. And I didn't really get an answer on that. Senator Latvala gave a funny answer to that, saying opioids aren't on the ballot.
You know, I don't see the relation of this amendment to that issue. My concern with my personal involvement is that I believe, based on my personal involvement, that, you know, marijuana is a gateway to other hallucinogenic drugs. I've seen it. And so that's why I'm so opposed to it.
So the other question I was asking was that the legislature, you know, they keep saying that, we can't put this in, this doesn't belong in the Constitution. That if it goes in the Constitution, then it would require another constitutional measure to undo it, and it should be something that the legislature does. And so my question, and I asked it several ways, was, well, the voters by almost 60% said we like this, and the legislature did not act and do anything about it. They had already implemented the low THC or the non-euphoric medical marijuana, and they expanded that to regular marijuana for people who are dying or who are terminally ill this year. The medical marijuana provision on the ballot in November would make medical marijuana available to a much broader class of patients. People with ALS, people with Alzheimer's, people with Crohn's disease. So a much broader and yet limited number of patients. It sounds like I'm advocating one way or the other, and I'm really not. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what is on the amendment.
I have seen in my own family, and in my business, because I've been in business with employees for, you know, 30-odd years, I have seen the effects that marijuana has on individuals. Their behavior in their business, their behavior in their home, which infects other people in their home.
I don't know what his personal story is with a family member or a colleague. We know that people who have funded this on the no side, at least two of them, Sheldon Adelson and Mel Sembler, have had children who died from alcohol, either overdoses or... Mm-hmm. So we know that some of the people who are very... biggest supporters financially backing this are people who have been impacted by drug addiction personally. That's why I was asking the question about, as an alternative to opioids, which can be more dangerous or can have much more, I don't want to say comparatively, more deleterious effect, but we know how addictive they can be and what can happen from them. One of Senator Latvala's responses was, we don't know what the reality is with the pot because it's been a Schedule I and there isn't a lot of research. Well, that's true in the United States. There has been a lot of research done in some other countries, including in Israel.
Yeah.
So the proponents of it will say that the negative side effects, the addiction, the overdoses, that you don't see that with medical marijuana. That's not Dara Khan saying that. That's people who are advocating for it.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating topic, and thank you so much for making it understandable, and I guess we'll find an answer pretty soon.
Yeah, one other thing that I've been noticing, and I actually was planning on writing a story today before I found out that they were having this press conference, is that we're not seeing the kind of attention that we saw 2 years ago. And it's getting pretty close to the election now, right? We're in October as of tomorrow, so we're only about a month out from the election. Remember 2 years ago, John Morgan had a bus and he was going around to college campuses. I spoke with him last night. He's not going to do a bus.
Yeah.
He wants him as a personality to stay out of the focus of the debate on this amendment. And so he's playing more of a backdoor role.
Why is that? Why is he?
Well, because, you know, he got drunk and he told, you know, he said he went off the chain and it was caught on video. And he said things that I'm not going to say for public consumption on your podcast. But, you know, you have to only do a Google search and you'll be able to find it. He told me, Wes, we already have the youth vote.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to go to the college campuses. And he said the bus people offered him the use of the bus and he declined it. He's doing very limited interviews. He's also running radio ads he's sponsoring. So he's doing a select number of interviews.
He knew his image was... could be a lightning rod.
A lightning rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did not want the issue to be framed around him and what he said and what he didn't say and who he pissed off today or yesterday. And I think that's probably a smart, from a media perspective, managing him is a good idea because you can't manage him.
Yeah.
Once he's out there, you know, he'll say whatever he wants to say once he's talking to people. And so if you get him out there in a public doing a bus tour, doing the debate circuit, you know, his people can't control
him. I almost compared him to somebody else, but I don't want to.
Well, that's true. It's very true.
Yeah,
no,
he's just like the opposite.
You can't control him. Yeah. And so they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that. And so, and he has a house in New Hampshire, and he says he's going to spend most of October in New Hampshire, where he says he'll be. One of the other things he said was, last summer, I was at a medical marijuana conference, and he was a business conference in Orlando. And he said that he was going to be targeting seniors. That was the demographic that kind of fell off in popularity because they got 59% or almost 59% in 2014. And they need 60% to win. So as voters aged, their support declined. And so their least amount of support they got was with the oldest voters.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to target them. And, you know, as he said publicly, and he said to me again yesterday, was I'm wanting to tell them that that we are the people, meaning him and me and the and people in nursing homes, are going to be the ones who are going to need this as we age and we have end up in hospice and in situations like that. So I haven't seen that they've actually done that, though.
Yeah.
That they've actually...
and they're running out of time.
Yeah, it is getting very close to the end. I'm surprised that we aren't seeing and hearing more about it.
Again, that's Dara Khan with News Service of Florida. In follow-up news, last week we heard from Democrat Gwen Graham, who is likely to run for governor, calling out Florida's Department of Environmental Protection for failure surrounding the giant sinkhole at Mosaic's plant in Mulberry. Now, Jack Ledvalla is expressing his frustration.
I'm very upset with the totality of what's happening to our water supply around the state. I think the sewer discharges in Tampa Bay, the discharges from Lake Okeechobee into both the Caloosahatchee River and the St. Lucie River, and now what's happened at Mosaic, I think all portend for some attention, because it's just hard to imagine they're all happening at the same time. And you know, we have neglected a lot of our infrastructure in the state, especially over the last 5 or 6 years with the recession and whatever, and local governments are not spending appropriate amount of money, we're not spending appropriate amount of money. We've cut back on our regulatory framework and DEP, we've cut back on the number of people there. You know, we need to start paying a little more attention to fundamentals.
Nadvala also shared thoughts on possible legislative outcomes following Hurricane Hermine and the fight in Tallahassee between investor and public-owned utilities. Remember that?
I was just in a place yesterday in Vero Beach where 60% of the ratepayers of the Vero Beach utility don't live in the city and therefore don't have any accountability, any way to get redress for any of the concerns that they have. So there very likely will be some legislation that will do one of a couple of things. Maybe put the municipals under the purview of the Public Service Commission. Maybe in terms of their whole picture, rates, emergency preparedness, or whatever. Maybe the bill will just put emergency preparedness under, you know, the PSC. I don't know yet. Representative Mayfield has worked on this issue, knows a lot more about it than I do. I spent several hours with her yesterday, and I think she'll be taking the lead on it, and I'm just going to be helping her, assuming that she's elected to the Senate.
That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to Dara Kam with News Service of Florida. Remember to visit rotundapodcast.com and please take a moment to fill out our listener survey. We want to learn more about you and why you love to listen to this program. Please join us again next week right here for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.